This time on episode 223 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll talk the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode A Life Earned, we'll do the Marvel News Roundup, and your feedback.
Hi, I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your schedule debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where the director has occasional soundboard problems. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, December 17th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Wright Brothers Day!
Yay!
Yay! Planes are cool.
Flying!
Yes, this is, of course, is the anniversary of the Wright brothers actually obtaining sustained powered flight.
I have used a lot of sustained powered flight in the last month.
Indeed.
You also say it's a maple syrup day, which I did celebrate this morning.
Yes. Yes, it's an American maple syrup day, not Canadian, but it is an homage to our northern brethren.
Waffles.
Yay. French toast.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, possibly The Gifted on Fox, we'll have to talk about that, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because we're all thirsty for Simmons.
Hey!
If you'd like to talk to us about being thirsty for Simmons, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
It is not that kind of website. You can call our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can interact with Lauren with our Twitter feed at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find our videos on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Welcome back, Haley. I know you were gone last week. We sent our well wishes along the way, but it is nice to have you back in the cockpit.
Studio?
Yeah, studio is good. Yeah, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Indeed. And now that you're back, and now that we've gone through all the preliminary stuff, it's time to talk some Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Of course, we always talk Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. What I meant was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this is the fourth episode of the fifth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It aired Friday, December 15, 2017, to a live rating, which is down slightly from last week, of 1.84. And the title was A Life Earned. Michelle, what is with the title this week? Because I didn't quite get the correlation that we got last week.
Well, we have a baby in this episode, and that's a new life, and the baby actually gets to live and gets to find parents thanks to the baby being taken and then paid for with a nice amount of, I guess, with a coin. I'm not too sure how the money works in this system yet, but that's what I'm thinking, that we have a new baby and it's a new life.
Yeah, by the way, it was rhodium. And apparently very valuable. It is a valuable metal.
I don't think they paid for the baby with the coin. That was just like, they gave it to him later because they felt bad about what they'd done.
And I know he used the coin to pay Grill.
Right, but he owed Grill money from before, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And he racked up further Grill debt by getting, like, baby toys and probably diapers and stuff like that.
Baby food. because babies need, you know, baby food.
Is that the biological expert in you speaking? Babies need baby food?
Yes. Actually, their digestive systems cannot yet handle the food that we, the adults, eat. So they need special food.
Science.
So dog food wouldn't work with babies?
I mean, they'll probably end up eating it, but they will poop so bad.
You have kids. You know your kids have all eaten dog food at some point.
Yeah.
It's available. It was at their level. Yeah. We no longer have a canine in the house. We've had one basically for the entire time that I've had kids up till last year. So it's, yeah. And dog food was readily available at all times. I'm sure it has been digested.
All right. Well, this episode was directed by Stan Brooks, and we know absolutely nothing about him. He just testified against the mob or something. He has no history on the internet at all, but this is his first directing credit, his only credit on IMDb at all. So that's what we know about him, is that his name is Stan Brooks.
If you are Stan Brooks, please contact us, because we want to know more about you.
Yeah, indeed. Stan Brooks is, obviously, this is the first time we're ever discussing him, at least in the name, because if this is a pen name, it could be somebody else, and we might have talked about Stan Brooks before.
I wonder if it's Joss Whedon, and he just, because he's working with DC now, can't put his name on this.
In the DC Witness Protection Program? Yeah, could be. Good luck with that, by the way.
Or he's hiding from the Marvel snipers after leaving Avengers.
Could be. I don't think, you know what? I don't think Joss would ever come back and direct Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he believes Coulson should be dead. He stated as such. He said Coulson should never have been allowed to come back alive.
I could absolutely still see him coming back and doing an episode. Like, especially in if this is the final season, like to do the final episode or something.
Could be. All right. Well, Lauren, who wrote the episode that was directed by Mr. Nobody, Stan Brooks?
Well, we have a Mr. Somebody, Drew Z. Greenberg. He has 12 writing credits going back to 2001, starting with an episode of Queer as Folk. This is his seventh appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's done six previous episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he also wrote the episode Safe for Firefly, one of my favorites. He wrote six episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He wrote six and was story editor for 22. He wrote three episodes of Smallville, two of The OC, one of Inconceivable, two of Dexter. Was the supervising editor for 14 episodes of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and actual credited as written by for five. One of Caprica, eight of Warehouse 13, six of Arrow, and is credited with nine for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Drew also produced several series like Dexter, Caprica, Warehouse 13, Arrow, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Probably not an executive producer or showrunner, but one of the writing overall story producers. All right, with that, we're going to start right in on the episode highlights. And as we do every week, we're going to talk about Michelle's mom's take, or in this case, maybe lack of Michelle's mom's take. So what do you got for us, Michelle?
Unfortunately, mom's had a very long week, and there's even more football on than before. I don't know. She's the football person, and she likes watching Vikings before she watches S.H.I.E.L.D. because Vikings can be very intense and bloody. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. is very, you know, light actiony type of stuff. So
the Minnesota Vikings can indeed be bloody, although I would think with all that protective equipment they have on them, that would reduce the chance of actual bloodshed.
I'm talking about the History Channel excellent series called Vikings.
Oh,
highly recommend it.
Yes, quite good.
It is good indeed. I'm actually caught up on it, believe it or not.
I'm actually behind on it.
Which I don't believe, because it's one of your favorite series ever. So yeah, it's a good series. If you haven't seen it, the series is just as good as any. And you can jump in this season without having seen anything before as well. So yeah, if you have a chance, I'd say jump on in. So we look forward to hearing Michelle's mom's take when we get back together next time. Where do you guys want to start with this? I wrote down in the show notes, let's talk about Deke. So is that a good place to start?
Yeah, let's start with that.
All right. So Lauren, what do you got with Deke?
I haven't really been liking him so much. He's kind of slimy and, you know, this is, again, the actor, I'm sure, is a perfectly nice dude, but the character's a jerk. And it doesn't help that he sold Daisy out last episode. And this episode, he's flat out lying to Coulson about it. Oh, I just helped her get to the medical wing and blah, blah, blah. I mean, lying jerk. So it was quite satisfying to watch him get stabbed and locked in a room. And Coulson kind of just flat out tell him, look, we don't believe your crap.
I was thinking a little bit more altruistically with Deke, but you're absolutely right. He lies to Coulson. If he wasn't trying to be underhanded, he wouldn't have lied to Coulson about what happened to Daisy.
The thing with the sob story he's telling is it's a bit of the boy who cried wolf. Even if there's truth in it, he's lied so much to this point that I'm not believing it.
So you're not believing the fact that Deke's dad was the voice that was heard from the transmission from the Earth's surface last episode?
I would be very surprised if it was, because, well, a part of me thinks, yeah, it probably is, but he's lied so much at this point. It's, how can you believe him?
Haley, do you believe him?
Probably, because that's kind of the trope, is the scoundrel with the heart of gold. So we've seen the scoundrel part, and now it's time for the turn where, oh, he's actually a really good guy.
Michelle, what's your take on Mr. Deke?
I'm really tired of him going, you don't understand this world. You don't understand what's going on. And it's like, dude, just take a moment and go, look, Coulson, me, this is our world in a nutshell. This is why Daisy needed to be out of the picture. She destroys things. We all die. Things like that. Just give us the cliff notes. Come on.
Well, his cliff notes is that Quake, the destroyer of worlds, is here. And what an incredible opportunity to move forward with anything. I mean, she could be used as a subterfuge to do something else. We don't know what Deke's plan is. I certainly don't. I think that Deke's going to have a hard time executing anything now being welded into his room.
I mean, that's like the ultimate grounding, isn't it? It's like, oh, you're grounded. You can't leave your room. Well, to fix that, we're just going to weld the door shut.
Yeah, and sneaking out the window really isn't an option.
Well, it is with him. He has already done it before with the helmet. So if the helmet's in the room, he can get out.
I think they took that helmet.
And I don't think there's any windows in his room.
There's a window in Coulson's room.
But they're not in Coulson's room.
No, but we haven't been in Deke's room yet.
I mean, not everybody gets a window office, Star Pie.
I certainly don't have a window office.
I do. I get sunburnt from it.
I'll bet.
I mean, I work from home, so technically I do.
So at work, I know a thing or two about facility construction right now. And I know that there is a standard to try to get 80% natural light into new buildings. So I do know that newer buildings are supposed to take advantage of the natural light for personnel health reasons as well as environmental reasons. So, whatever. A little tidbit from the actual facilities standpoint.
I spent 7 years locked in a cold, windowless room occasionally in the dark. Well, it was not fun.
Well, SNASA is indeed a windowless environment. So, there you go.
Yeah. This is why everybody on this in this places like this. There are no windows, and the only windows are out into space, and their view is the blown up Earth. Nobody is happy.
So I'd never actually welded my kids into their room, but I did consider taking the doors off the hinges. I have heard of that before. I think it was done in Freaky Friday.
I know a lot of people that have had that done.
Personal experience?
I'm very thankful my parents never did that to me.
I was threatened with it once.
And look how well you turned out.
No.
Future world dictator. Benevolent? We have yet to see.
I prefer the term emperor.
We're hoping. Fingers crossed for benevolent.
We'll see.
We'll see how it works out.
We'll see when we get there. All right. Let's talk about the non-benevolent dictator on the lighthouse, in the lighthouse. And it's Caecius. And he's got some sort of sinister plan afoot going on. And I have to say, at a tactical level, he's done pretty well, but at a strategic level, is he actually executing appropriately or not, Haley?
I feel like he's not a long game kind of guy.
Going from battle to battle rather than trying to win the war?
Yeah, I think he's a checkers player, not a chess player.
Yeah. Michelle, what do you think about Caecius and his moves here?
I think it's interesting that everybody has to go to dinner in order to start bidding, because he takes a dig at that one woman because she wants to start negotiations early. And he's like, you know, you got to do that over dinner. And I know you'd only like to eat on your ship, so we're not going to talk about this. And then he has a good idea of blocking Simmons and Daisy so Simmons can't read Daisy's lips. That's smart. But then there's also a telepath in the room, and he actually believes the guy when he just says, oh, I can only read minds. I can't send thoughts. And Caecius is like, all right, I believe you. And there's a telepath, and he discovers that Caecius wants to, like, blow up the joint for some reason.
What's left to blow up? I mean, the planet's gone.
Well, it's what they think is the remainder of humanity. So that scene, first of all, was so tense. Like, just good job on that. Secondly, there's a lot of this that's just straight out of Spartacus, the guy who has this kind of gladiator thing going, but wants more. And then third, I can fully believe that Caecius didn't even give the guy a second thought, because he thinks he's so much above humans. He thinks they're so scared of him, they wouldn't even bother lying. And it doesn't even occur to him that they can read his mind, because he's so much above them. Like, in his mind, it's like, oh, they're all down at this level and I'm way up here. So why should they be able to interact with me? You know, that sort of thing. I think it's a lot of elitism and racism, and it's going to come back and bite him in the ass, and it's going to be so satisfying.
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised about the Spartacus influence into this series, because a lot of the production staff was involved in Spartacus, the show on Stars, I believe.
Stars,
right?
Yes.
Stars. So I'm not surprised that there is a Spartacus vibe to this whole thing. And even last year, we had, what was his name? Battiatus. We had Batty come in, and he had that great ending scene where he's on the beach drinking the bottle and he can't finish the sentence because he disappears in the framework before it's all over. So if you haven't forgotten or you haven't remembered that, that's at the end of season 4. It was a pretty good ending there. And then talking about his moment with Basha, which is a separate scene. There's two scenes that we're talking about. There is the scene where he's announcing the fact that there is going to be a bidding and it's going to take place at dinner. And that was a direct stab at Basha, because Basha has treated Caecius badly. So he's just getting back at Basha, saying, well, you can't be a part of the bidding process because you have not been a benevolent business partner to me, that sort of thing. And then there's the scene where they're talking about trying to get to the truth of how many time travelers there are. Caecius obviously has bought into the fact that this is the Shield time travelers from the past, and there's two of them. And Sky, Daisy, tells this great story about what had happened, and that is transmitted by the telepath, which in the IMDb credits we're guessing is Ben, then injects into Simmons' mind, because Simmons, we do get confirmation that Simmons is in fact lip reading. So that is good.
Yeah, that's because our baby Simmons is so smart and amazing and resourceful, and I just love her so much.
Yeah, one of Caecius's moves was to get rid of all the smart people.
He said that, the old people and the smart people, said getting rid of them, and one of which was Deke's mom, apparently.
Well, you see this in a lot of fascist regime takeovers. The first thing you do is get rid of the intellectuals. Look at the first one I'm thinking of off the top of my head, because I just read a book on it, is Mao's Cultural Revolution in China. They actually had things where, like, intellectuals were publicly shamed and then executed. Anybody smart, anybody who could lead thinking that could challenge the status quo, you get rid of them, you scare anybody else who might be thinking along that sort of way, and you silence. That's the whole point, is you want to kill that sort of thinking, and you silence the voice of your opposition.
So we're in the shaming stage right now.
We are in the shaming stage right now.
Well, also, Daisy pulls off a great poke right back at the establishment by the head trainer, I guess is the best way to call him. Don't know what his name is either. But she is asked to show off her powers, and she does so by flinging the trainer across the room.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. And he says, I didn't mean that.
I love Daisy. She is amazing.
Okay, so I was watching this week's episode and last week's episode last night, and throughout both episodes, I kept thinking, everyone has grown up so much. Like, we had, you know, Baby Simmons in season one that couldn't lie, and all she did was stay in the lab and do science-y things, and now she's, like, for the third season in a row, deep undercover in hostile territory. Daisy, when it started, was Sky, and all she could do was computer stuff, and now she's, like, a badass ninja lady. This show is so good.
I'm so proud of them all. Yeah.
I know.
When it comes to Chloe Bennett, I keep thinking about the one scene that she did in season two or season three where it's just one long tracking shot of just pure action, and she ends up breaking her wrist in the shot and continues on to the end just to get the shot in. That is the Chloe Bennett that I will always remember. That's when and it started before then, but that particular scene was when I went, Chloe Bennett is now a badass. And of course, Daisy is a badass as well, because even if without her powers, like she's got the attenuator to her powers in her neck, the little blue line that is embedded in her neck, which takes away her powers. She's still a formidable force because nobody else, none of the other humans are military trained. None of them are trained to fight or anything.
None of them are may trained.
No, not at all. So Daisy's really an asset with or without her powers. And of course, May doesn't have powers. She's still, you know, she might still have a little bit of that Asgard anger in her from the very first season, but she is just going on. And we get at least the first round, if not the only fight we're ever going to see between May and Sonara, who has been nicknamed on this podcast the Ball Lady. So we see that. That was an awesome fight.
Just seeing May turn to Coulson, I got this. And she has her own axe of her own. And here come the balls. And she does like this flip thing. And then eventually she hits them like a baseball bat. And she takes on her. And it seems as though Sonara is not used to being hit. I think that took her by surprise. But the last thing we saw was May against the wall. So I don't really know what happened to her.
And we see Sonara later, obviously, is in victorious fashion. And didn't Cassius say, have you taken care of our newest arrival or something like that?
Yeah.
I won't lie. Part of me is like, okay, does May have one of those face thingies with her that she could put on? But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, you know, Coulson doesn't have his Inspector Gadget hand. I don't know what kind of tech the rest of them took, because it would have been confiscated if they were taken by the authorities. They were probably not going to be taken by S.H.I.E.L.D. because they were the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. And remember, Talbot was in kind of a coma at the end. He was still alive, but he was in a coma because he got shot in the head. So there would have been nobody to look out for them. So they were on their own when they went to the diner, and they knew that. He's trying to get pie. Pie.
They just wanted pie, and they end up in this horrible future.
This dystopian future, as Coulson finally admits.
That was a good line. It's like, okay, so now we've gone full dystopian.
And why is that, Lauren? What happened to make him say that?
Because nobody can have babies, and the Kree are the ones that are breeding babies because they want to increase the chance of an inhuman, because they sell inhumans and everything is terrible.
Pretty much. So level 35, and I'm not sure, are the levels, do they go up or do they go down? I'm not sure. I think they go down.
I mean, in space, does it really matter?
Yeah.
Well, it matters. Okay. So they went to level 36 and then Deke went up on the elevator to get into floor 35 and call the elevator. So the levels go down, because this was originally supposed to be like, you know, Stargate Command. It was an underground survival bunker. So, okay, down is more floors. Got it. And it matters for me spatially to figure out where they're at. Because isn't the trawler at level 9 and then everything else is like at level 3 where their courtyard of the lighthouse is, stuff like that, and the salvage yard, which is technically 2 levels, but okay. And then talking about the salvage yard, Mac and Yo-Yo have a very interesting path here because Mac is the replacement for Zev, has the muscle for Grill, and Yo-Yo is all like, I needed to do this to survive. We still don't know if Zev's dead yet or not at the end of the previous episode, but Mac is now being confronted on whether he is going to buy into this current situation or if he's going to try to keep as much as possible. And then he just runs into not only one hope, but 2 hopes in his mind. And he's telling that to Yo-Yo. And it's just heartbreaking.
Just everything with the Mac storyline here was just so sad. The guy telling him, oh, people like you don't deserve to have children. After we know that Mac has just, like, this is just so raw to him. It's been only a couple of days in his, you know, just for him since he was in the framework and he had a daughter and he had to deal with losing her all over again. And we get that reveal of, you know, after she died, it took him a while to, you know, clear out her room. And we know he'd be a great dad. And we know he's a great, caring person. And this situation is not one that under normal circumstances he would ever be in. And it's just, it's horrible. And I felt so bad for him. And I just want to give him a hug. And, oh, it's awful.
And he's the one that Grill hits with the metric electrocution thing.
Like Grill is just, look in a mirror, man. You're beast. And it's true. It's like no one is as tall as Mac unless it's a Kree.
Yeah, just because, you know, he's the quote unquote big scary black guy. He's part of the heart of the team. He is arguably the team's conscience.
Yep.
But because in this place, you know, they look at him and they just see, hey, big buff guy, go beat on that guy, or we're going to, you know, make things really hard for you and your friends. It's terrible. And this is, Mac has not been in a really good place for him in a while. Just let Mac be happy. I know it would not be good TV, but just let Mac and Yo-Yo take a vacation and adopt a puppy.
I feel like once Fitz is there to be all angsty, then Mac can be happier.
Okay. Yeah, give somebody else the angst for a while. I would like that. Pass the angst ball.
Yeah, jumping ahead, I can't wait for next week. You called it, by the way, Haley. Next week's Rewind episode is going to be all of what happens with Fitz and bringing it forward, yep, as we saw in the preview. So that is going to be cool. By the way, you were talking about how Mac is like the only one who's as big as the rest of the Kree. And then before you mentioned that May was hit Sonara and she wasn't used to be hit. She is still Kree, which means she can take a lofty hit and not be damaged. Just keep that in mind when we get to the next fight with May and Sonara, which I think is going to happen. It has to happen. And maybe Quake, maybe Daisy and Sonara could go at it, but I think May definitely needs a rematch once she's healed and obviously still hobbling on her leg, which was, were you guys looking at May during the fight? And you could obviously tell when there was a stunt double in there because she was able to fully move around versus when it was just her and she was hobbling on the leg.
I wasn't thinking about it at the time.
You were just like, oh man, this is just awesome.
And there was that really cool shot when Sonara like flips over May and the camera goes with. That was cool.
That happened like twice.
That was amazing.
Cool. Yeah, where they were flipping, the camera went over. And at the end, we do get Fitz. He comes in, he's in the future, and he unmasks himself. You know, he's all Boba Fett, bounty hunter, and he undoes the mask and says, yes, this is indeed Quake, the destroyer of worlds, which is both cool that Fitz is there and like, oh, he's calling Quake the destroyer of worlds. That's kind of harsh, but okay.
He's not like a Boba Fett type. He is one of the people there to bid. So not only is Fitz in the future, but it seems as though Fitz was able to figure out the world and get into a position to where he gets to be invited to the dinner to bid on Daisy.
Do you think that he genuinely thinks this, or do you think that this is part of a plan?
I think it's a plan.
Has to be a plan.
I mean, we already had Evil Fitz last season, so this has to be a plan, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think I can take another season of Fitz being pitted against the team.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've already been spoiled about another casting thing that's coming to our way pretty soon. So I think Fitz is in cohorts with the other cast individual.
If you saw the trailer after the episode, you know what we're talking about.
Could just be Fitz. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, it was really cool to see him. Glad to have Fitz back and the band's back together, so to speak, but they got to break everybody out. So we'll see. And if they do fix this and then go back to regular time, I wonder what the rest of the season is going to be like. Because last year we had like two or three storylines. I don't know if this season's going to be broken out into two or three storylines or if this is it for the rest of the season. I don't know.
Do we know if the powers that control Marvel are going to use Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as another movie tie-in vehicle?
Yes, they said that there is going to be a tie-in with Infinity Wars this season. We just don't know what it's going to be. It could be another cleanup job. It could be an actual I have no idea. But yes, they said they are going to indeed have a tie-in this year.
Because that would be Thanos somehow.
Well, the tie-in doesn't necessarily have to be Thanos. Like, remember back to Thor the Dark World. The tie-in
was debris.
Yeah, they're cleaning up Great Britain.
So they're going to be cleaning up after... Well, they can't be cleaning up after the Infinity War.
Well, technically, if they stay in this time zone, it could definitely be after Infinity War and they're still cleaning up after it. I don't know.
Maybe a bunch of Kree show up? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just waiting to see.
I assume at some point they get back to their own time. Who knows when in the season that might be, but they could be in a position to assist or clean up.
In the meantime, we got to figure out what Fitz knows, where he's coming from, if he has a plan from when he left or if he's making it up as he's going along. I don't know. We'll get all that next week. And we might get Deke out of his room. I don't know. Could be in there for a while. Did we get any tests this week? I don't remember seeing tests.
I don't think we did. No.
But back to Deke. Does he have a bathroom off that? I didn't see a bathroom.
He's going to have to use the corner.
Okay.
It's going to be his pee corner.
Maybe he has a plant or something.
Okay. So next week, we are definitely going to see Rewind. It's the fifth season, fifth episode, and it'll be fun. The only question I have on ABC and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is why run this on the 22nd? We've already seen the effects of ratings on Arrow running on Thanksgiving evening. Or if you want to hear more about that, go to the Starling Tribune. But this is, it's not like Christmas Day, and it's not like Doctor Who, which is meant to have a Christmas Day episode.
It's an event.
Yeah. This is just a regular episode on the 22nd, a Friday the 22nd.
I think it's because it's what they have to do to get the episodes out by the time they need them to be out. If there's going to be some sort of crossover with Infinity War, that has a set date. That date has been set in stone for years now. And because of stupid Inhumans, they didn't get to start on time.
No. And I wonder if they're taking time off for the Olympics or if they're going to power through during the Olympics. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I know if you combine Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow, they're going to run new episodes for basically when they come back from New Year's until June. Between those two shows, it's going to be a new episode that time slot, I believe 8 p.m. Eastern on Mondays. So they are planning on running new episodes during the Olympics. I don't know what the rest of the networks are supposed to be doing.
But again, it's not that they couldn't go into the summer. It's if they're going to cross over with Infinity War, they have to be in a certain place by a certain time.
Yeah.
Which I think gives a lot of credence to the fact that this might be a real crossover.
We shall see. We did.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we did hear a couple years ago that they did indeed have a plan to actually cross over some of these actors. But then they came back and said, you know, crossing over is so difficult. I don't know if we're ever going to get to do that. Infinity War would be where you'd want to do it. But don't know. We'll see. Just a few months. What's the date for Infinity War? Is that the May time frame?
Yep.
May 4th. May the 4th be with us.
There you go. Yeah, Black Panther before that, too. All right. Any last things to say about the episode, Michelle?
I would like to say that people need to come back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and give it another shot. And I really would like people to just... There's another podcast that I listen to, and for some reason, they're complaining about this season and saying that it's a repeat of stuff. And it's like, no, we have a new setting. We have new antagonists. It's very interesting. So give it a shot. Come back.
Great. Haley?
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now is as good as it has ever been. I'm really enjoying the season. I like the Firefly feel they've got going. So if people don't like it, I don't understand them.
I don't understand them either. Lauren, what do you got?
I can understand why people left maybe in season one, but right now it is so freaking fantastic. So yeah, if you're listening to us, you're probably watching it. So tell a friend, maybe get them to binge watch it with you. Be like, no, come on, we got to do this. We got to do this. Maybe sell it to them as a drinking game. Be like,
what kind of drinking game do you want to play?
Well, after season one, I mean, drink anytime Coulson's hand does a thing. I don't know.
Every time Mac makes a movie reference.
Yes. Just find a... Well, give me time to think of an actual drinking game that will be fun, but will not kill you of alcohol poisoning.
Okay. So in a sense of last week, we started rating the episode in accordance to how many lives we thought the episode was worth. And I think across the board, we gave it 8s. Haley, just to let you know where we were at.
Okay.
So, Lauren, what do you think? How many lives do you think this episode was worth?
I would say another 8.
Okay. Michelle, do you have any idea how many lives the episode is worth?
I think it is worth a very precious and rare baby.
Ooh, there you go. Haley?
I also think it's 8. Do we know how many lives there are available to us on that ship?
A few hundred, I guess. I don't know. They're starting to repopulate. And there are kids there, which you don't see very often. Okay, so Haley's at an 8.
Yep.
I'll go 7. It was good, but I don't know if it was as good as last week. 7, 7.5. That's what I'm thinking. On a scale of 1 to 10.
So what's the half?
A half a life?
Is that just like you Darth Maul them and take like the bottom half?
Yeah, which half? Is it the top half or the bottom half?
Because I mean, that's kind of important.
Could be right down the middle.
If it's the top half, that is effectively the whole life.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I stand by it. So there you go. Next time we'll talk about Rewind. And in the meantime, if you are looking for more geeky content, we got a whole network full of it. Right, Lauren?
Yes, we do, including the Digital Soup podcast. With episode 52, the Digital Soup Geeky Gift Guide, with that extra special holiday edition, we break down news stories from Google fighting with Amazon, Apple's most downloaded apps, a great list of games for time-crunched gamers, and a super special Gunna Geek Edition quiz show. That's all before we run down our Digital Soup Geeky Gift Guide. You won't want to miss these geeky gift ideas for your favorite geek in your life.
Indeed. Once again, that is the Digital Soup podcast found at the GunnaGeek.com website.
News this week, guys. I don't know if anybody heard a movie came out. But real news. Disney bought Fox.
Yeah, so we've talked about this a little bit before, just kind of debating whether or not it would happen. And it happened. They bought Fox movie and TV, film and TV.
Yeah, it's been kind of talked about for a month now? Like, it was like, oh, a deal's going to happen. And it's like, oh, the deal fell through. It's not ever going to happen. And then it's like, oh, no, it's really, really happening.
Yeah. So there's some details that have come out of this, including that Bob Iger has announced that, well, there was a conference call, and Disney CEO Bob Iger held 2 conference calls, and he confirmed that the Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Deadpool will all become part of the MCU. And all of the final decisions of how they are all going to fit in and what's going to stay and what's going to, like, what movie projects are going to keep moving forward and which aren't, are going to be Kevin Feige's decision.
Hmm.
Also, I had read an article earlier this week that Fox doesn't own the rights to Fantastic Four outright. They have been licensing them from another small production company to make the movies.
Huh.
I'm looking up that article right now. So they still have the rights to that. So Disney would have to license those rights from them if they wanted to make Fantastic Four movies.
Hmm. Do the rights, if they're not used, revert back to Marvel?
Yes, I think so. This Fantastic Four was that weird deal where they could keep the rights as long as they kept making the movies.
So if Disney / Marvel makes it almost impossible for this small house to actually make a movie, then they could get the rights back without leasing them.
I mean, how could they do that?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics.
Well, what production house is left that could effectively make a Fantastic Four movie?
They don't even have to make a good one. They just have to be in the process of making one. Like, remember the one from the 90s? That's what happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you're saying that they could get a whole bunch of their friends and film a Fantastic Four movie in their driveway and it would count?
Yes.
It would, yes.
Yes.
Do you want to get in on that?
I call the thing!
Lauren's in.
I call Human Torch.
I want to be Dr. Doom.
Okay, the good news is that stands. The bad news is that we don't really have an effects budget, so we're going to have to wrap you in, like, flammable tape. So...
I'll do it. It'll be okay.
Don't worry. These costumes barely cause cancer.
Along with this is the government might be investigating the Disney-Fox merger, according to IO9.
I could see it. It's two big, huge media powerhouses.
Yeah. The Democrats on the Senate and House antitrust committees aren't thrilled. Which, honestly, me and some friends had been talking about when they first announced this. I have a friend. My best friend is an IP lawyer. And yeah, this could technically fall under, like, a monopoly because it is an industry-changing merger.
I agree. Monopolies are bad. But I really want the X-Men to be in Marvel Studios, so...
Yeah, it's one of those, as a fan, part of me wants, you know, the Fox theme before Star Wars and the distribution rights back for A New Hope and the X-Men in the MCU, but the realist in me is like, take a step back, see what this means for... you know, the film world at large, and realize this might not be a good thing all the way through.
Also, the realist in me, if the Democrats are the only one with a problem, then this isn't really an issue.
Not until next November. And even then, that's a possibility. And it really would be...
But if the merger's gone through before then...
Right. It would be January of 2019 that the Democrats could do something about it, providing they won the majority in the next election. So you're right. I think this will go through before then.
Did Disney also buy the Fox network? Because Disney already owns ABC. Will they now own, like, could they all of a sudden, like, cancel The Gifted or whatever?
They bought the rights to Fox TV and Fox movies.
I don't think they got the television station because I think they, whoever owns it, was keeping the rights for, like, movies and news? Or not movies, news and sports.
Okay, here are the films and TV shows that Disney would get from Fox.
I thought the sports went to Disney.
No, they kept sports, news, and something else. But yeah, they would get The Gifted. They would get Modern Family, The Gifted.
Yeah, I think they would get the content, but I don't think they get the station is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the actual state, which would be the definition of the monopoly, because the content created is not necessarily a monopoly. Well, see, I was wondering what Disney was specifically after in this acquisition. Like, were they indeed after the Marvel stuff?
They would own the production apparatus behind these series, as well as the production and distribution rights.
Okay. So again, I'm wondering what Disney was specifically after in this merger. If they were after the Marvel stuff, okay. If they were after a specific TV stuff, that okay. But what specifically did they want to buy?
So here's what I think. I think they wanted the distribution rights for the first Star Wars movie, which Fox still had.
Well, that makes sense to us, but I don't know if it makes sense to them.
That's not all they want. I think they wanted the Marvel content. And then they're planning on doing their own streaming service.
Yeah.
They need a bigger library to get people to buy in on that.
Okay.
Yeah, and they would get 60% ownership of Hulu as well.
Yeah. So are they going to get rid of Hulu and make it all the Disney streaming service? Or would they just use Hulu?
If they have 60% of Hulu, why not just say this is the Disney streaming service?
Because it also would include revenue generated for the other two big networks that are part of Hulu.
But Disney would get the subscriber money.
Yeah, plus that gives them the larger content library so they can get more subscribers.
Well, now remember, Disney's business case has always been, I want to funnel you into my stuff and my stuff only. So I just don't see them playing nice with other people with a distribution hub like Hulu, which does have two other major content providers included in it. They want their own. They want the Disney streaming channel or streaming service. They don't want to play nice with others.
Yeah, but with net neutrality might be dying, nobody will be able to afford any streaming service. So
yeah, that's another big thing that happened this week. It's been going on for a while. The actual net neutrality was voted on by the FCC and of course went the way that we all thought it was going to go. The only thing that can change it right now, which is not going to happen again because Congress is mostly controlled by the Republicans, is that Congress could actually force them to do something. It's not going to happen. So the earliest we can see any change in net neutrality would be January 2019.
So, yay.
Yeah. Way to bring it down, Michelle.
Just doing my job.
So, yeah, that is why we are both excited and very worried.
And also very confused.
And very confused. But there's some good news, isn't there?
Okay, did we talk about all the news in this Fox merger stuff? I think we hit all those points.
I think we hit it.
All right. On to some Netflix news. The Punisher has been renewed for season two.
So I haven't had a chance to watch Punisher yet.
I've seen like two episodes of it. I haven't either.
Yeah, I've been very busy the past couple months, but I'm still really looking forward to it. So it's, I mean, yay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I know Ferris has contacted us several times via our Twitter account, and he has watched all the way through and had some things to say along the way as he was watching it. And there was like a strong start. There was a middle, according to Ferris anyway. And then at the end, he said some benevolent things towards the Punisher actor himself, Jon Bernthal. So I don't know. We'll see when we get there. And I don't know when that's going to be right now, but we eventually will get there.
Yeah.
And the last piece of news, Loki to be pansexual and gender fluid in an upcoming YA project.
This is canon.
Yep.
In both Norse mythology and in Marvel Comics, Loki has been male, female. In a recent Thor comic, there was a panel where Odin said, you know, my son, there's Thor, my daughter, there's Angela, my child who is both, there's Loki. And Loki has had relationships with men, women,
everything.
Horses. A reminder that in Norse mythology, he is the father of, in addition to Hela, Sleipnir, Fenrir, and Jormungandr. Again, gods play by their own rules. And there's going to be three villain-centric books written by Mackenzie Lee, author of The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue, which sounds really fun. It's a historical novel about a rebellious bisexual English rogue, so it's kind of right up my alley. And Mackenzie Lee is also going to be writing, has confirmed, Loki is canonically pansexual and gender fluid. It's about time the LGBT plus community was represented in superhero narratives. In the comics, Loki is reborn as a woman, uses female pronouns, and often takes on female forms. And Odin calls him my child who is both. So it's cool that we're actually getting, yay, representation.
I like that this article points out that sometimes the fan fiction is getting more readers than the comics themselves.
Pretty much. I haven't been reading a lot of Marvel comics lately because I've been very angry at Marvel, but I've been reading a lot of Marvel fanfic.
The only thing I know about Loki right now is that he's the Sorcerer Supreme somehow.
I mean, it's Loki. Loki does what he wants.
Yep.
Which is, again, canon. There is an actual comic panel. I think it might just be a gif, but it's... I'm just remembering the Loki running over the Rainbow Bridge yelling, I do what I want, but it might just be an edit. But anyway, it's Loki, I do what I want is the most Loki thing ever.
Just want to point out, Lauren, that it's great that you remember that, but that yet you cannot remember anything to do with maths.
Pretty much, yeah. Again, useless trivia has moved in and pushed out every useful thing I ever had to learn in school.
I guess it's the definition. If it's useful to you, then it's, you know, useful to you.
But it's not useful.
Well, it's useful to you in discussions like this, which you actually like. So there you go.
Good point.
In any event, yes, indeed, as Haley pointed out at the beginning of the news section, there was a movie that came out this past week. It is called Star Wars The Last Jedi. We will be talking about it at some point in the future. Unfortunately, we're not prepared to talk about it right now.
We're not going to talk about it, but there was a new, well, I think it was the same one, the Black Panther trailer before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's so nice to see it on the big screen.
In 3D.
I was very excited. Oh, I
saw
it in 3D.
I saw it in 3D. You guys, I'm so excited for Black Panther, and I loved the new Star Wars, and that is my spoiler-free review. I cried the whole way through.
I loved it. I cried, and yeah, we'll talk about it later.
And I'm writing fanfic.
That's as spoiler-free as we could get, folks.
Loved it, cried, fanfic. That is my spoiler-free review.
All right. With that, we're going to move on to some feedback.
We have some feedback from Twitter this week. First off, we have Chai Food Affair, Chicago Food Affair, who found us via Spotify. So, hi. Hey, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you think it's a coincidence that Basha has those red eyes that Rocket has? I have been trying to figure out what kind of alien species Lady Basha is for like a couple of weeks now, and I can't figure it out yet. Have y'all made any headway in this?
No, I haven't seen anything. I haven't run into anything. Haley, Michelle, either you two?
I mean, and for the first whole episode, I think I thought she was human, and I was trying to figure out why Cassius was like, letting this human all up in his space.
Yeah, the Marvel Cinematic Universe wiki has her as a noblewoman of an as-yet indeterminate species.
There we go.
I'm curious. And I know we've seen a couple of others with those same red eyes. That fighter that Abby was fighting?
Yeah. Yes, the young girl. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe they'll let us know and maybe they won't, but I want to know. I have to know.
I can only think we'll find out before we move on because Basha has been a key player so far. So maybe she'll try to extract Quake at some point in time. We'll learn more about her species, her ship, her capabilities, that sort of thing.
Chekhov's Basha. We also have via Michelle. She retweeted and said, this is awesome, from Saladin Ahmed, who's an author that I love. If you told me a few years ago I'd get to watch a 50-something Asian-American woman fight a Kree warrior on primetime network TV, I wouldn't have believed you. So the times, they are changing, and it's more or less pretty awesome. Some of it's bad, but this was awesome.
It was awesome.
We've talked about it before, Ming-Na Wen. I guess she just turned 53, and she is kicking more than I ever could even when I was healthy.
Yeah.
And she's still doing this just weeks after a knee surgery. And just amazing. And the fact that we have Kree on TV, you know, this kind of niche Marvel thing for years and years and years, it's amazing. We are living, good and bad, we are living in some amazing times. Interesting times, maybe.
Indeed. What else we got, Lauren?
And we also have from at DJ Firewolf. Hey, you probably answered this on an episode, but are you guys planning on covering Runaways in the shows coming to Freeform?
Haley, over to you.
Time allowing.
Yeah, we do plan on doing some other coverage. And that's why at the top of the show, I say maybe gifted. And I have been keeping up with that just because y'all said it was
really
pretty cool.
Good.
And so I am current on the gifted and I'm prepared to talk about it at some point. But we still have to get through the Punisher. And that's probably more of a priority than gifted. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, the good thing is there's so much Marvel stuff. And the bad thing is there's so much Marvel stuff and very limited time. So we'll take it as we find time. But we do want to be talking about all this stuff because we are very excited.
So at the beginning of the news section, I've got what Haley had put together for us a few months ago on all these Marvel series that were coming out, you know, The Gifted, Legion, Punisher, Runaways, Cloak and Dagger, and New Warriors. It's a lot, not to mention all of the stuff beyond The Punisher on Netflix. So we're only human. We only have so much time that we can watch TV. And yeah, we'll get to the stuff as it comes up and we'll have to prioritize the stuff. The one thing about Netflix is with this new streaming Disney service, we do see Marvel pulling out of Netflix for the future. So the Netflix universe might be winding down eventually.
At least not growing.
Yeah.
But Jessica Jones season 2, March. You guys saw that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super excited.
That trailer was really fun to watch. I'm looking forward to season 2, Jessica Jones. Of course, her performance in The Defenders was awesome, too. And not to mention her own series. So, yeah, she's awesome. All right. So if you guys have any questions for us, get a hold of us at all the great ways, our Twitter account, Facebook, or you can always email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. Meantime, Michelle, how are we going to get this one out?
We are going to whack the balls this one out.
Okay.
Whack this one in the balls.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you again, Michelle, for joining us to talk this amazing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Oh, this is fun. I'm really happy how season 5 is going so far.
I just can't wait till I get to the end, but of course, can't wait for next week, too, because I think a lot will be told to us about what happened in real time and whether or not we get back there. I don't know. We'll see.
I also want to thank everybody who gets a hold of us. The people who hang out during the live tweets. It's so fun. I love doing them. I love talking with you. Everybody who's found us via Spotify, as I guess we are now on Spotify. Thank you, SP, for setting all that up. Because God knows I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, I never know what I'm doing.
Yes.
But thank you so much for listening and for getting a hold of us. We love hearing from you.
In case you listen to us and you're a regular Spotify user and you didn't know, we are now on Spotify. Actually, all my podcasts are on Spotify, except for the GetAGeek.com show. You'll have to talk to Steven about that. But yes, we are now on Spotify and a lot of you have found us. So if you're listening to us on Spotify, thank you and welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thank you to everybody that's listening. If you're watching some of the other Marvel shows as they're coming out and there's a specific one that you really want us to cover, make sure you let us know and that'll help us decide which one we do as soon as we have some free time, which could be a while.
Indeed, since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. seems to be rushing towards Infinity War. With that, until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Which will, by the way, be probably New Year's Eve when we record live. We're off next week. See ya.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Hey.
Hey, Sith Witch. How are you?
Pretty good.
How many times have you seen Star Wars?
So far, only the one. We're trying to figure out when to go see it next.
I will not see it until the 23rd.
It is so worth it.
Oh, my mom hasn't been able to watch the episode yet.
All right, well, you know, it's holiday season. We need to disclose
she's
that.
She's had a long week, and there's even more football on.
I didn't know she was a football fan.
Oh, yeah. And she likes watching Vikings before Shield, because Vikings can be intense and Shield's more action-y. So
Vikings has been intense. It has been.
I didn't catch up on it.
You're not caught up on it?
No, I.
Wow.
I haven't had time to watch so much of the TV I usually watch.
I am so far behind on TV.
So just so you know, Lauren, I know you're a big Legatha fan. She is spotlighted in about a third of the episode length each episode. Yes.
This is amazing.
And there's really not much going on in Kattegat either, other than scene setting.
Spoilers. So I watched these episodes back to back last night, so I might accidentally start talking about things that happened last week.
It's okay. You weren't on the podcast last week, so okay. You feel free to have your say on either. And enjoy your next viewing of Star Wars, because I know everybody here is going to go see it again.
Yes.
Maybe.
Or for the first time. Really?
I don't know. I have to see Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I need to see that one, too. And Shape of Water, I need to see Lady Fucking Fish.
And my mom wants to go see Jumanji.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see
that's not real high on my list.
Thursday night take on Star Wars is down from The Force Awakens?
Yeah, I saw that. But then again, that tends to be the way it is with each of the Star Wars movies.
Well, Disney wanted $200 million opening weekend, so I don't know. Are they on track for that?
I heard that they are.
Okay. Well, pretty cool. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Woo!
Yay!
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.